It is March 21st. The year is 2020. This is Deanna Spingola, and I am broadcasting from the, I guess it's kind of sunny, maybe a little overcast, the Chicago suburbs. I really do appreciate you joining me today at republicbroadcasting.org, and I also invite you to visit and subscribe to SpingolaSpeaks.net and ScreeningSandyHook.net. And during the program, you may email questions or comments to comment@spingola.email. Please visit our lovely chat room at spingola.chatango.com. If you click on the radio schedule button at the left on my page, spingola.com, you will find the schedule that goes all the way back to October 23rd, 2010. Remember, just visit spingola.com, click on the radio schedule button on the left, choose the appropriate year and month, and then pick out whatever you want to listen to. All of the programs have links to relevant topics and all kinds of things. Unfortunately, my first guest just 15 or 20 minutes ago emailed me and said that she was unable to be on the program today. And she was going to talk about her book. Her name is Kim Casey Cobb, and she is the author of Stuck a Way Out. And she was once a victim herself. She was kidnapped and was one of the first children, with the distinction of having her picture printed on the side of milk cartons. And she was going to talk about Harvey Weinstein, who was sentenced to 23 years for rape, and probably a lot more that he did that nobody ever found out about. But anyway, she had a last-minute emergency, and so she is unable to join us today. So we are going to talk about other things. I'm going to, tell you about some of the things that I've been doing recently that I believe have been very helpful in well, what is going on today, as well as talking about some of the things that I talked about on a program that I was on this week. I was on with Andy Hitchcock, and we had a very nice program, and we were talking about stress and some of the things that I've been involved with in the last few years. And I was telling him that, well, first of all, we started by talking about this little hospital stay that I experienced in mid June. I was in the hospital for a week. Now, I've tried over the years to avoid hospitals and to avoid things that I thought weren't really safe. We know that all pharmaceutical drugs, every single one of them, have side effects. Nobody's going to argue with that. And sometimes the side effects are worse than, are much more dangerous than any benefit that you might get from taking a drug. In fact, side effects are really not side effects. They are the effects of the drug itself. Side makes you feel like, oh, this is something that was unavoidable. And yes, we know that 50% of the people who take this drug are going to die from the drug, and that that information came from Dr. Jennifer Daniels, who I've had on my program and who has a podcast, a weekly podcast. And I heartily recommend that you view her podcast and see what she has to say about a number of things. Anyway, I was on with Andy, and we just talked a lot about the things that I had been doing and the things that I do. And I was listening to the news yesterday from our esteemed governor. Sorry. He was telling us that that we should all stay home and avoid any kind of contact with anybody, and to employ the 6 feet away from anybody that we were talking to. And here he was surrounded by all these people, and I'm thinking, let's see, this doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense to me that he's telling us to stay home. And we, starting today, we are supposed to stay home from 5 p.m. until April 7th. All the schools have been closed, and we are supposed to stay away, 6 feet away. It was so ironic, and here he is standing, surrounded by all these people. Anyway, I was listening to this, and so I guess you can just get up every morning, and if you don't feel like getting dressed or whatever, you can just have a pajama day, which I sometimes do. I have an all-day pajama day where I just stay in my pajamas. I think it isn't so great to do that. I think people need to get dressed when they want to. But if you really don't want to, then don't feel pressured that you have to do this. Anyway, back in June of 2018, I had this. It was a Friday night. It was a Friday night. I experienced this horrific pain in my chest, and I had no idea what it was. And it really hurt the next day. It was really hurt my chest. Couldn't breathe too well. And so one of the guests that was supposed to be on with me the next day took over the show for me, and it was really great. He became the guest as well as the host. We're going to plan on having two other people on the program, but he is a very dear friend, and he agreed to take over the program for me. And Sunday, I didn't feel good, but I went out and visited some people that I needed to visit. Well, I visited a person that I needed to visit. And then Monday, I just really felt really bad. Tuesday, I felt really bad. I didn't get dressed at all. Wednesday, I felt really, really, really bad. I went over to my daughter's, because I was going to help her. She needed help in the morning. She was quite ill at the time, so she needed help every morning. And so I had signed up to for Thursday, and I went over Wednesday. We're going to have breakfast together. And she said, "Mom, you look like you're in worse shape than I am." And so I decided that I would try and get an appointment with my regular doctor, which I did. I called him, her, and I got an appointment 45 minutes later, not with her, but with the physician's assistant. And I talked with him for 45 minutes. He said, by the way, I want you to go next door and get a chest x-ray and, see what's going on. So I, after the doctor's appointment, I just went next door, got a chest x-ray. And by the time that I got home, my son was here. He said, Mom, you have a collapsed lung. You have to get to the ER immediately. So I ended up in the hospital. It's good to go to your doctor once in a while, which I obviously found out. So I was on a chest tube for a week. I had pneumonia and I had IBS. I had PTSD. I had, what else did I have? I had just a lot of things. And, of course, I was on oxygen. And it was time for me because, well, obviously it was a difficult time. But Dave Kahari ran the program for me the next day, and everything went smooth, and I didn't really say much about it afterwards. I just, I was there for a week, and obviously I was on some antibiotics, I'm not a big fan of antibiotics. Anti means anti-life. They're very difficult on your immune system. And I got out of the hospital. Let's see, that was June 13th through June 20th and 2018. On the 16th of June, I had a rebroadcast. On the 23rd, I had a rebroadcast. And on June 30th, I was back on the air. I also had something called bronchiectasis, which is something that I still am recovering from. So if I sound like I have a cold, it isn't that. It's because I'm still recovering. When you have a catastrophic situation, it takes time to recover. It takes you probably as long to recover as it took for you to get ill. I am still, I have a wonderful therapist who talks with me every week. She comes to the house, and she's been remarkable. We've become friends. I love her, and she has helped me in many ways. And we just have become friends, and I appreciate what she's done for me. And I never really thought I understand that stress is, and I've always felt this way, that stress is probably one of the leading causes of disease, of physical disease. When you're under stress, which is what we are all under right now, given this coronavirus, the COVID-19, whatever they are currently calling, whatever it is. And I did some things. Even before I left the hospital, this friend in the Netherlands had told me about this Boteco breathing method. And so I thought, Well, I actually bought a book about it. Now, it's wonderful to have a nice collection of books, but if you don't ever read them, what's the point? And so before I ever left the hospital, I started reading this book and discovered that what a lot of people don't understand is that, and I talked about this on Andy's program, is that you have a nose that you should be breathing through and a mouth that you eat through. And you don't flip-flop. You eat with your mouth and you breathe through your nose. Your nose has a filter. It has filters. It warms the air that you breathe in. It filters out the dust, the debris, the germs, all the stuff that you could breathe in that goes straight into your lungs. Goes straight into your lungs. If you breathe through your mouth, it goes straight. If you breathe through your mouth, all the garbage goes straight to your lungs. If you breathe through your nose, it goes through this filtering system. The air gets warmed up, and you're not going to get COPD. You're not going to get asthma. You're not going to do a lot of things. I started. Well, I always breathe through my mouth. It was what we did. Now you'll find that other cultures, Native American culture, other cultures absolutely agree that you should breathe through your nose. You don't eat through your nose. You shouldn't breathe. You should breathe through your nose and eat with your mouth. Anyway, I was thinking a lot about things that I've been doing, and some of the other things that I began doing immediately upon leaving the hospital. First of all, I was still pretty weak, and I was living by myself, which was a good thing. It was nice. It was peaceful. It was relatively stress-free. So all I had to do really was just take care of me, and I didn't have the stress that I had previously had. So I took this course. I read the book, got a hold of the person that wrote the book, and took direction from her, which is great. I bought the audio tapes, and I was, as I said, I got direction right from the source, the person that wrote the book, and she helped me a great deal. So that was one of the first things that I did. Second thing that I did, I think I took EFT before that. And EFT, let me explain what EFT is. It's a terrific program, and I will post a link in my chat room. And please do be sure and visit the chat room because that's where you get all these great links. And it's just a friendly place for the most part. And so I will post this link in my chat room. And I took a class in EFT. Oh, we'll be right back, okay? Stay with us. Be right back.
You and me. It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take the lead to change the bad to good, to live in harmony. It starts with you and me.
All righty, we are back. This is Deanna, and anyway, we're talking about my trip to the hospital and stress and what I did afterwards. I tend to be proactive, and I like to figure things out myself. I don't want to put my choices or my responsibilities in other people's. I just want to take responsibility for myself. Anyway, I took an EFT class, Emotional Freedom Techniques, and I posted a link in the chat room about what this entails. And it is, it's the official, there's the official EFT, and it was started by Gary Craig, and he addresses all of these questions. How do you treat this? There are several things, a list, probably there are, I don't know, maybe 70 things that you can choose on. And one of the things that he talks about is, how do I approach chronic bronchitis? Now, prior to my getting ill, it just didn't happen to me all of a sudden. For the last three years prior to my going to the hospital, I was getting chronic bronchitis every year, usually in the wintertime. And I should have addressed it at the time. I thought I was addressing it at the time. But sometimes things have a tendency to sneak up on you. But he talks about all kinds of ways of using EFT, Emotional Freedom Techniques, to help with whatever specific health issues that you have. And it's emofree.com, and then you can approach the various what he's talking about. And in EFT, you tap certain places on your body. Now, your heart is beating all the time. It's one of your heart beats. It pumps the blood through your system. You have other systems in your body. You have at least 9 verifiable systems in your body, one of which is your blood. It circulates through your body. It's pumped by the heart. And if you tap places on your body, whether you're tapping your neurovascular, whether you're tapping whatever you're tapping, it's going to coordinate with your heartbeat, and they're going to recognize each other. And so you can tap. Now, some of the problems that we have started in our childhood. Believe it or not, they started then. And I was thinking about this earlier today, maybe yesterday, the day before, and I was thinking, when I was a child, which seemed like a century ago, but when I was a child, my mother had me at the doctor all the time. It was, she felt very important. She liked taking me to the doctor. And I think she had, where sometimes you you make your children sick. I'm not sure she did this, but she certainly enjoyed taking me to the doctor. But one of the doctors that I went to he was from Germany. I think his name was Finks, or I don't recall. It started with a V-I-C. And he used a different approach than your regular physician, your regular MD. I still got the shot of penicillin at the end, which gave me a lifelong, I don't do penicillin very well, which is fine with me. It's not a great thing to do. Anyway, what he did was, and this is going to sound really gross, but what he did was he would put these things high up into my nostrils, and then he would withdraw them. Then he would put this other thing one at a time in each nostril, and he would, I had to keep saying the word K, 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 and he would draw this stuff out of my sinuses, and it was quite a lot. Okay, we'll be right back.
Starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take the lead to change the bad to good, to live in harmony. It starts with you and me.
All righty, we are back.
It starts with you and me.
We are back, and this is Deanna. And I was talking about what this doctor used to do, and he would withdraw a lot of liquids from my sinuses, and there are actually two places that you have to concern yourself with when you have bronchitis or when you have what seemed to be a lung condition. A cough, for instance, a cough can either be related to your sinuses or it can be related to your lungs. And there are places on your face. It's when you're looking at your stomach meridian, which is one of the you have. You actually have 14 meridians, 9 of which relate to like your spleen and your stomach and your heart and your large intestine and your small intestine. Anyway, he was working basically on my face. Now, the other issue is whether your problem is directed in your lungs or in your face. Okay, so I figured that, and if you look at your face meridian, you will discover your stomach. Okay, your stomach meridian starts in your face. It starts immediately below your eye. It's on both sides, and immediately below your eye is what is called point one, and it goes down around your jaw, and then it goes back up to your head. And if you work on the points, and there are several points, there are let's see. Just on your face alone, there are, 7 points. And if you work on your face, you are going to be actually working on your sinuses. So I figured, okay, I think that I have a problem in two places. I think I have a lung problem, and I think that I have a sinus problem. So I'm going to work on each of them independently. And so if you start with your stomach, and I needed something more than just my fingers to tap. So what I did, and I did this about oh gosh, a month or so ago. I bought these little mini massagers. I know some people buy them for other things, and I was kind of embarrassed to be buying them. But they're just little handheld massagers. And so it used to be that when I would cough, I would just take this a homemade cough medicine, which has apple cider vinegar, it has chili powder, it has honey, it has several things in it, but it really did not help my cough. As soon as I lay down, I would start coughing. So I bought two mini massagers. I work on one side of my face at a time. Now, if you work on your face using one of these mini massagers, you can hit all of these points. You can drain the liquids from your sinus. You can also help tinnitus. If you are experiencing hearing problems, then you can work on your hearing problems. They are amazing. So now, instead of taking some cough medicine that doesn't affect my sinuses whatsoever, if I lay down and I start coughing, or before I even lay down, I use this mini massager on 7 points, 8 points on my face. You can get rid of, as I said, you can open up your ears. You can take care of tinnitus. If you have whatever problems are related to your face, you can take care of it. You can drain those sinuses, and you can actually feel, your sinuses drain. If you tip your head back a little bit, you can feel them drain at the back of your throat. Okay, now if you're working on your lungs, there are things that you can do with your lungs, and your lung meridian starts at the top of each arm, just between your shoulder blade and your arm, the upper arm, and that meridian, it only has 11 points. Goes all the way down to your thumb. And if you start coughing and you want to prevent yourself from coughing, there are two places that you can hold. It's lung point number 7. And we're talking about acupressure here, not acupuncture, but acupressure. If you start coughing and you want to stop that cough, then you just take your thumbs, and you can do both sides at the very same time, and you put them, apply pressure with your thumbs to lung number 7, point number 7. And that will stop a cough that is initiated by your lungs. And so if you want to stop coughing, you just relax and hold those points with your thumbs at the very same time, and I did this. I started coughing at a memorial service, and I took care of it right then and there. So you have to know your body well enough so that you can figure out how to help yourself. Because if you go to the doctor for any of this stuff, they're going to give you an antibiotic and send you away, and you think, oh, well, that just takes care of everything. Nope, doesn't take care of anything. Now, as I said, if you want to take care of anything in your face, then you want to, or anything in your sinuses, you want to do that with your face. And as I said, the mini massager is very good. Hearing problems, if you want to drain your ears, if you have teeth problems, a lot of people suffer from MTJ, where you have tightness you clench your jaw, you have teeth problems. You can feel if you put the mini massager, say on a number seven, right in front of your ears, you can open up your ears. It can affect your hearing. It can affect tinnitus. It can take care of so many things. But you have to recognize or understand the meridians in your body and use those meridians to help yourself. So I took, as I mentioned, EFT, Emotional Freedom Techniques, which goes back to the tapping, or in this case, use a mini massager, and it stimulates what needs to be stimulated in your face, and it can solve a problem. And it's terrific. Same with your legs. If you have large intestine, small intestine problems, you're going to want to work on your IT bands on the side of your legs, which is another meridian altogether. So I took, you know, a class in EFT, and I always I don't like to just minimize that. So then I signed up for an energy medicine class, which the loving intelligence that oversees everything. You can call it synchronicity. You can call it you can call it whatever you want. But when you need help, he's gonna look out for you. And I found this energy medicine class, and they have them all over the world. You can sign up for them. And I thought there were some in Europe. I was not in any condition to go to Europe because I was, like I said, I was in recovery. I was very weak. I'd gone from 135 pounds down to 101. During a very stressful time in my life. And so I thought, well, I wonder if there's anything in the States that I could go to. And it turned out that there was a class in Naperville, 3.9 miles from my house. I was just thrilled. I signed up for this class. It was a year-long class. It was wonderful. It was, since I was having an issue with IBS, I didn't have the stress of worrying about that. I was able to take this class. It was very intense. It lasted a year. We had to do demonstrations. We had to work on each other's body. We got to work on each other's body. As it turned out, there was this amazing ER physician in the class that I became friends with, and he had written a book on dementia, on overcoming it, and it was fabulous. And then there was another gentleman that flew in from Mexico. There was just a wonderful group of people, just a terrific group of people. And honestly, sometimes because of the way I was feeling, I wasn't feeling great at all the classes, but I could feel some negative energies. I'm very I can feel energies. I can just feel them, and I'm aware of negative energies. And even before the class, I had been trying to get rid of a bad energy, bad electricity in my home for years. I don't own a microwave oven. I don't use a cell phone. I turn off Wi-Fi. I do have Wi-Fi, but you can, especially when you're sitting in front of your computer, You turn off your Wi-Fi so that you're just, you can still be online, but you need to have your Wi-Fi off. And by all means, take your Wi-Fi off during the night. Don't sleep with your cell phone. Don't sleep with any electricity in your bedroom. Try to avoid having things plugged in that you're not using in your kitchen. If you're not using the blender or not using whatever, of course you can unplug your refrigerator. You shouldn't be sitting in front of your refrigerator. It's one of the most. It sends out a lot of bad electricity, but you want to unplug everything. I have a countertop water distiller that I create a gallon of distilled water every day. And for heaven's sakes, if you distill your water, don't forget to replace the trace minerals in your water, because distilling water takes all the trace minerals out. And for heaven's sakes, if you're going to distill water, don't store it in a plastic jug. That defeats the entire purpose of distilling the water to begin with. Get rid of all the plastic in your house. Don't use aluminum foil. Get rid of all your aluminum cooking utensils. You need to minimize the bad stuff in your house. I have not used aluminum foil, or, you know, I got rid of all that stuff a long time ago. So you want to do things that will help you, that will make you happy. I like fizzy things. I like to drink things that have a little. I drink a lot of water. You're supposed to drink 2 quarts of water a day. And you can be severely, severely dehydrated. If you're not drinking water, you're going to be dehydrated inside and out. And so you need to rehydrate both the inside and the outside of your body. And I use this aloe vera stuff on the outside of my body, and I drink my water. But I like fizzy things. I like kombucha. And so instead of, buying kombucha, I do a lot of Amazon Fresh, and they're not delivering anything because all of their delivery staff are hiding out somewhere. And I've been doing this for a long time. So I make a tea with an herb. One of my favorite herbs is hibiscus flowers. I love hibiscus flower tea. So I make a bottle of that. I use my soda stream and I add a little bit of honey. Then I use my soda stream to make it fizzy. And so I've pretty much replaced a kombucha with my own homemade fizzy drinks. This week I made elderberry fizzle water and hibiscus, and it's wonderful. It's just a really refreshing drink. And so you can do this stuff at home and create things for yourself that are healthy and that don't cost a lot of money, that are going to help you. Okay, going up. We'll be right back. Be right back. Okay, as I mentioned, I love taking classes. I took the EFT class, the breathing class. I took a 9-week course with Dr. Joe Dispenza, and I learned how to do to meditate and to learn to. It was just a different way of thinking, a different way of responding to things. And it was just wonderful. That was a 9-week course. I just finished up another course analyzing dementia. Let's see, what other courses have I taken besides energy medicine? There's a long list of things I've taken. And I've gotten something out of everything. And I have loved everything that I have done. And I love what I'm doing. I like the response. And I have a daily MER. It's just I go through the energy exercise, the daily routine, the DER, which a daily exercise program. You get up, before I even leave my bedroom, I'm tracing meridians. I'm tapping on my neurovasculars. And by neurovascular, I mean the things that, okay, if you get a headache, you feel a headache coming on, you're going to hold your PowerPoint. You're going to hold certain areas on your head, the neurovascular points, and you have a lot of neurovascular points. I have this this foam skull that I have attached a little round label that shows you where all the points are. So if you're getting a headache, if you want to treat dementia, there's places up on top of your head. It's fabulous. Then you have your neuro lymphatic points, which are all over your body, and you want to tap those. You want to do acupressure on those points in order to relieve the pain that you might feel. And you know that you have a problem with, say, for instance, your large intestine. You will find that if you take your thumb or the end of a hairbrush and just touch down your IT band, which is on the side of your leg from right up by your hip down to your knee, and just find the sore spot, and you just hold that hairbrush into that sore spot until the pain goes away. It's called chasing pain. If you want to act as a circuit from one person's pain, to take the pain away from one person and shift it out of their body, you can do that. And I did this with Rebecca a lot, because she was in quite a lot of pain. There are other ways connecting heaven and earth is a fabulous exercise. We'll be right back. Stay with me. Be right back. We're talking about energy medicine. I was telling you about some of the things that I do, the daily exercise routine, what you're doing is really detoxifying your body. You can do a spinal flush. You can work on your chakras. You can do your neuro lymphatic reflex points. You can do a hookup. You can, when you want to connect heaven and earth, there's a way of doing that when you invite the heavens to send you inspiration. You want to also be grounded. People don't wear shoes that ground them anymore. You have to be connected to the earth. You have to have your yin and your yang have to be connected. Yang is from the sun, the energy from the sun. Yin is coming from the earth. And my bare feet right now are touching my earthing pad. I sleep under an earthing pad. I expect the heavens to be opened up to me. You can do a spinal flush on a friend, or you can do one on yourself if your friend is not there. You can work. I've worked with chakras. I can work on animals. My cats know about energy medicine. They love energy medicine. They know what it's about. I do spinal flushes on my on Leo. He needs a lot of help. He's kind of energetic. But the point is that you're working on yourself. And here's the other thing. A lot of the things that I practice come out of China. Energy medicine has been a part of the Chinese culture for 5,000 years. It's been a part of the culture of India. It's been a part of the culture of Native America. It's been a culture. It has been a part of the culture of many, many ancient civilizations. And so when I first heard about this thing coming from Wuhan, I'm thinking, let's see, they're taking what for their this COVID-19? In China, according to traditional Chinese medicine, the doctor only got paid if you kept him well, if you kept the patients well. If somebody got sick, they didn't get paid. They used traditional medicine. They used Chinese traditional medicine. So when I heard that this disease came out of Wuhan, the first thing I thought of, why the heck aren't they using their meridians? Why the heck aren't the doctors just simply clearing the meridians and doing all the stuff that they've been doing for 5,000 years? Why are we hearing that they are trying to, I don't know what they're trying to do. I think it's just an economic scare tactic to shut the economy down. Because really, really, you do need to understand the nature of what is going on. And the first thing that they should do is be practicing the energy medicine that they have been practicing for the last 5,000 years. And so when I heard this, I thought, something's not right here. Something is really not right. So that's how I felt. Anyway, you can sign up. As I mentioned earlier, I took the Buteyko breathing seminar. You can sign up. They're having another seminar where they're you can sign up, and you can do that by going to let's see, where do I send you? Just do breathing center, and you will get the sign up sheet for it, and you can sign up for a free seminar, and of course, the other thing is that they are invading your privacy by doing this. They're keeping people from talking to each other, and there are things that you can do to educate yourself, and you need to understand where it's coming from. We can take some phone calls if you wish, and you can, let's see, I'm just going through some of this stuff. your addiction to screens. Oh, for heaven's sakes, don't take your cell phone to bed with you and put it under your pillow. My gosh, cell phones, electricity, when electricity was introduced, you hardly heard of cancer. Maybe one person in 500 got cancer. Now it's one out of two. Children have been developing leukemia and cancer, and they're placing these cell towers, 5G, well, any kind of cell tower, on the top of schools. They're placing them all over, and this is affecting a lot of health for a lot of people. And so you need to be aware of what you are doing, how you're doing it, and start thinking about taking care of yourself and doing it in a natural way, doing it to the point that, well, that's going to help you. I've been reading a lot of things that Peter Myers has put out lately. And he says, he says chloroquine is found to kill coronavirus. But the CDC and the FDA bureaucracy wants to delay. In other words, would you believe that? The government is withholding information that would help us to fight this coronavirus or this COVID-19. Would you actually believe that they are withholding information? Do you really think the government would withhold information that would allow us to recover from whatever it is we have regarding this coronavirus and have no side effects? You realize that the drug companies aren't going to make a dime off of something that's free and available and can be delivered to tens of millions of people, and it's safe and it's cheap. But the FDA, nope, they aren't going to do that. Oh, the other thing, open secrets. Let's see. I read an article about, where did I put that article? Open Secrets. Okay, here we go. On Thursday, Open Secrets broke the news that Senate Intelligence Committee Chairman Richard Burr, a Republican, North Carolina, and his wife Brooke sold between $628,000 and $1.7 million in publicly traded stocks on February 13th as a coronavirus outbreak began to spread across the U.S. His sell-off of large investments in hotel companies that later saw their stock values evaporate followed a closed-door briefing on the risk posed by COVID-19 and his public assurances about the government's ability to fight the virus. Anyway, the story sent shockwaves through the media landscape and led to calls for an investigation and even for Senator Burr's resignation. I didn't hear about that on the evening news, and I'm sure you didn't either. It also led to further reporting about other senators engaged in sell-offs, including Kelly Loeffler, who also reported large sell-offs just before the coronavirus hammered the U.S. equities. And, of course, we all know that just before an invasion of yet another country in the Middle East, that these same senators, not exact same senators, but senators and representatives invested heavily in arms and armaments and war-making machines and stuff. Well, no wonder they go to Washington as broke as the rest of us, and they come back as millionaires. What is wrong with people that they don't get that they go to Washington maybe as a wrestling coach who make modest income, and they come back as a millionaire and a huge property owner. We got to put two and two together, people. Our representatives and our senators do not represent us. They represent their greed, and that's why they all come back as millionaires. But you're not going to hear that on the news, as I said. So you need to take care of yourself, because you are not going to find a senator or a doctor. Now, there are great doctors out there. People usually go into medicine because they want to help people. But you have something called the standard of care. They are not able to prescribe a medication. They have to look up the symptoms in an algorithm. The algorithm is designed by the American Medical Association, the hospitals, the insurance industry, and Big Pharma. Those four entities decide what medication you may take in order to address your symptoms. They are addressing symptoms. They are not addressing causes. And if they abide by the standard of care, they're not going to get sued. Oh, they might get sued. They still have to pay insurance premiums and whatnot. But they have to abide by the standard of care. I refer to it as the substandard of care. And so their hands are tied. You think that the FDA is really, really protecting us and that they're doing all these studies on all of these meds? Heavens no. The ABC agencies set up by the government are to protect the corporations. The FDA does not test anything. The FDA extracts money from a company that creates a vaccine, that creates a drug. They are paid by the company who supposedly do these clinical trials on their vaccines and on their drugs. The company pays the FDA. The FDA says, oh, okay, we approve. They don't do any testing. They don't do anything. They protect the corporations. And so the physician's hands are locked. And when you receive a vaccine, the vaccines are protected by a court, as people refer to it as the vaccine court. And every time that you go in to get a vaccine, which we could talk about the emergence of dementia associated with vaccine. But anyway, when you go in to get a vaccine, it used to be that you got maybe 9. And now I think, before a child is even graduated from high school, they get 36. And if you go in for a multi-vaccine, say it has 4 or 5 different things in it, the patient or the parent is paying 75 cents per vaccine. And that goes into a fund, so that when somebody is sued for the results of a vaccine, it's not the vaccine company or the pharmaceutical company that's paying the fee when a patient or a patient's parents sue. And there have been millions and millions of dollars won in these lawsuits, so they've got their butts covered. However, you have to prove, the patient's parents have to prove, they have to stand in line. And sometimes it takes 3 to 4 years. And there are so many children, and this started, if you were born after 1991, when the CDC increased the number of vaccines that were required by infants, the infants even have to have a protection against, what is that vaccine that they get to protect them against, what is that? My mind is not working. That protects them for 7 years from a something that they would get if they were engaging in exchanging needles or having sex with somebody that has HIV. They have to get that before they even leave the hospital. That is so ridiculous. And the vaccine is supposedly lasts for 7 years. And then they have boosters. So if you were born after 1991, chances are you're going to have some problems. You're going to maybe be in that you're going to have autism. You're going to have, maybe you're going to be banging your head or not able to speak for 3 years or a lot of other things. That can happen to people, to especially infants, little infants that come to us that we're supposed to love and cherish. To cherish your children, you need to really read what's in these vaccines. If you want your child to have aborted fetal tissue, injected in their body, if you want them to be injected with mercury or aluminum or some of the other gross things that are in vaccines, then you're not being a responsible parent. Before you get any vaccine, you should read what the ingredients. You should make the decision. Just because a person has a white coat on doesn't mean that they are professional. They are simply doing what they are required to do by law. It's a trumped up system. More people die as a result of medical practice in this country than die by gunshot. Okay, you're more apt to be killed by a doctor than you are by somebody shooting you. 9,000 times more likely to be killed by allopathic medicine than you are by gun violence. So we don't see any yellow tape up around the hospitals. The other thing is, hospitals are the places where you can pick up all kinds of nasty germs. You can pick up C. diff. If you want to pick up a germ, just take a trip to the hospital. Now, some trips are unavoidable. There was no choice. It was either who knew what it was. If I only was, your right lung is bigger than your left lung. What happens when your lung collapses is it doesn't just collapse like a balloon, although sometimes it does. But what happens is it presses, it moves out of position, and it presses against your heart, it presses against your other essential organs, and you're in really tough shape. Okay, I'll be right back momentarily. Stay with me.